T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Beth, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
I'm fairly confident that Brad was wondering if I was going to be able to get in the show on time. Were you worried about that?
Nope, I had a plan.
What was your plan? What were you going
to
do?
I was just going to tell you that we're supposed to be on the air right now.
It's a bold plan. Ryan, are we talking about what you're doing? Or do you not want people to know?
I don't care. Yeah, we can talk about it. So my son is 7. They're in the youngest age bracket
for
soccer.
He plays on the Olympic 7-year-old soccer team.
Mm-hmm. Not quite Olympic, but we're crossing our fingers.
That's what they tell them.
And their team's pretty good, and so they made nationals for the youngest little age group, so they're kind of cute, but they're also super fierce.
Are they good?
Yeah, they're good. They're
they're 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Is it good soccer?
If
I watched it, would I think, like, oh my gosh, there's a bunch of 7-year-olds? Or would I be like, that's a little soccer team?
No, I mean, they've got field strategy and passing pretty well figured out.
Yeah.
At that age, it's about who's figuring out the fundamentals the quickest. And then you also have to have skilled players. But also, you know, it's just as much mental as it is physical ability
at that
point.
You just described playing sports just for everybody there.
You got to give 110%, Brad. You got to go out there every time.
You want to
leave
wanna
it
play
all
good.
On the field.
Leave it all on the field.
Yeah. You want to play good. You hope to play good. I feel like we played pretty good.
Yeah.
Play well.
I mean, ultimately, it's about who comes out ready to play.
It's the cliches. It's the Bull Durham cliche scene.
Yeah. So we're going
God
down to
willing,
Florida next week
work out.
For like the full Thanksgiving. And I'll be gone well into that next week too because we're staying a couple extra days because somebody likes Disney and now has convinced me to also like Disney and I like Disney.
Well, time out. There was zero, and I mean zero pressure for me.
I know.
Oh my gosh, there's a spider on the screen. I hate it. Get it.
Oh, really?
Oh,
let's
Did
do
you
that.
See that.
No, which screen?
Oh my gosh, look what happened to that man.
There's so many screens.
Oh no.
Oh, you're talking about it's like Spider-Man.
It was a Liberty Mutual commercial. There was a spider crawling on that dude's arm.
Okay. Yeah, that's how Spider-Man got his powers.
I don't like Spider-Man. I don't have to like Spider-Man. I don't like spiders.
Don't you feel bad for him, though?
No, but
Not at all.
You were cowering like there was a spider right next to you.
Yeah, I was thinking there was one on your screen.
No, you've seen what happens when the spider shows up in the middle of the show. Were you on the show that day?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, you guys had...
I was on the show more that day because you were gone.
You had to... Look, did I ever show you this? Look at this on my computer right here. You see that dent?
Is that the spider?
That's from when you smashed it.
That's where the spider died.
What did you smash it with? Your phone?
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good dent.
I didn't want it to live.
Did the phone or the lapbook break?
I mean, no. No.
That's great.
The spider did. Yeah. And then it sat there. You know what I found out later? Then my dad was listening to the whole thing, and he was less than a mile from my house.
And just did shows not
he
to
He was
anything.
Entertained.
Oh, we were all entertained.
No, we were not all. No. Not all. Not we no, all that was, entertained.
What month was that? Do you remember?
The worst month of them all.
Whatever it was.
No, I feel like it was like springish.
It was one of those days we were coming in. To,
it was just, this I don't past, even like thinking about it. Oh.
Yeah, it was probably like March of this year, right?
Yeah, something like that.
It was a month. All I remember is coming in and being like, I'm not sure what we're even talking about today. And then that happened. And then that there's nothing else we could talk about.
That was it.
Because you were gone.
Yeah, and you had to do the show. Like, I... Yeah, left.
It had yeah. been later than March though, because I remember I didn't get to see it live. I was listening to it on the radio because I was mowing grass, and it's too early to mow grass.
Oh, so
in
it
March.
Was April or May. Well, what? Let
like
me
a
just
smoker.
Narrate. Yeah, you do. You sound
wow.
like me.
There's a, Wheezy
let
here.
Let me just narrate though the way that happened that day.
Oh my god!
I don't even know what we're doing right now, but the way that happened that day. I watched you because we weren't back in studio yet.
No, I was in my basement in my house. It was in my house.
Yes, there's nobody that could help you. And we were going, Annie, just vacuum it up or something. And you were standing off mic like this, yelling most of the show. You're like, let's talk about this spending bill.
I don't know. Nothing was discussed until the spider was
But it was
toast.
It was well into that hour before you were willing to sit back down at the microphone.
I killed the spider, but it was there. So then I had to touch it. And I wasn't going to touch it.
And we were trying to convince you to just vacuum the thing up.
I did.
And you were like, I don't know if I want to do that because then the spider is in the vacuum and I don't want to touch the vacuum.
That's what I did.
But you did do that.
And then I made my husband clean out the canister in the shark vacuum.
That's not exactly what happened just now, but it reminded me. I thought there was a spider near you.
No,
and I was going to have to come
more,
over there.
There would be more movement.
You're so scared of spiders.
I don't like to see them when I don't expect to see them. And I don't ever expect to see them.
Which is 10 feet away from you.
It was this big.
There was
a big screen.
Digital spider on the TV that was clearly not real.
I'm itchy.
And you started to cower.
I don't like it at all. It makes me sad.
Well, you're in charge.
You were going to Disney.
Oh, yeah. That's where we started this.
This is going to be the only segment our boss listens to for the entire month of November. So this is the time where you email him and tell him how much you appreciate the show just to offset what he's gathering.
That's right.
From these 20 minutes.
So I'll be gone not just Thanksgiving. Actually, I'll be hosting the show next Wednesday because you'll be off, right?
Fantastic. That answers your question.
So just you?
He keeps.
Well, you and me, apparently.
All right.
He keeps asking me questions like, are we going to do this? I'm like, I'm not here. Who's filling in? And he just said, I don't know.
Yeah, it's me. Yeah, no John Hancock this time. They asked everybody else.
Did you arm wrestle him and lose?
No.
And
John Hancock
do the show?
Does not touch people. It's in his contract.
Let's just start a lot of rumors.
So, I'll be hosting Wednesday, but then we'll be off Thursday, and then I won't be back until the next Thursday because we'll be gone.
Unless you go to Florida and love it so much, you don't come back.
That's possible. That's very possible.
Ryan has all of these questions about Disney World. So we go on a break and he's like, so he picks up right where we leave off. I have to remember that again when we're talking about Disney.
Yeah.
And we're literally talking up to this is the Annie Fry show.
Yeah. And then we're like, okay, now we're on.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to be talking about real stuff, but we're not.
Are we?
I don't know.
I don't want to.
I think Disney's real stuff.
No, I'm not going to do that to the people. It's too polarizing. It's a weird thing to be polarizing.
The only reason we're doing it is because last November, my whole family mm-hmm. went. Because it's like a rite of passage. When you have kids at that age, you take them once to Disney World, you knock it off.
So that's what we said the first time we went in 2018.
Us too. Mm-hmm. And so we went, and then we didn't get to ride half of the rides that I wanted to ride. So this opportunity presented itself.
Because things were closed?
Some of them were closed. I mean, a lot of the Disney stuff was just not happening. There weren't as many characters. The shows weren't going.
Yep, you can meet and greet now.
So I'm looking forward to seeing a little bit more of like what's a normal experience. Because
Christmas.
We went
You're going to get to see
of,
Christmas.
Yeah, which will be cool. But trying to ride all the stuff we missed last time just because we're going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So
and it's you
it
and
sense.
Your son.
Just me and him.
Which is
going to be really fun because he and I are both like, move, 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 fast, fast. And nobody else in our family is.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to just knock this stuff out.
So we're talking strategy and all of this stuff. And, and Disney just implemented this thing that is useful, but so incredibly complicated. that, you know, companies find technology and there's a learning curve, of course. But when the people who understand it and get it and know how to use it have a hard time explaining it, I just got to think that you're dropping off a whole host of opportunity to make money because they're selling this thing. I don't know. It's like they've gotten ahead of themselves. A lot of people in the Disney world have become so incredibly frustrated with the money grab that they feel is taking place surrounding Disney World, a Disney World vacation. And it's interesting to go there because that's the place our place where we go to get away from all of this stuff that I talk about on a regular basis because I have to clear my mind from time to time. And when you realize that an operation like Disney World and Disneyland and all of the other parks across the globe closed down because of COVID for 4 or 5 months or even longer, the hole in the pocket that creates is so gigantic, just an astronomical number. Do they, if it's a luxury place like that, which I would assume that most people would classify Disney as a luxury, part of what they offer is an experience that just seems like they give you so much value for the high dollar that you spend there. And now they're having to balance that. And I think it's a very slippery slope for a place like that.
I do too.
Like the more you nickel and dime in a place like that, because the business model says you've got a huge hole to dig yourself out of. There's a point where you can do that too much and then you're going to hurt yourself even longer because, of course, you know, if gas prices go up, then airline tickets are going up. If airlines are forcing everyone to wear masks and shoving people, you know, to the brim in all of these airplanes, people might be less likely to travel. Do they want to drive? If gas prices go up, then maybe they can't drive. There are so many things that seep into a place where you might go to get away from somewhere for a while. And these businesses have a really, really tough road to hoe when it comes to figuring out how to navigate out of this like everybody else does.
I just want to get out of COVID mindset. I want to go somewhere where
Florida
COVID's
is the place
not
to
an
go.
Issue. I want to go to Disney Shanghai. Because in China, as
COVID's
you know,
not real.
Their their numbers that they report is that only 4,000 people have died from COVID in 2 years.
Yeah.
It's incredible. COVID's not even a thing there.
In China.
So we're going to go to Disney Shanghai.
It's crazy to, you know, put the Disney stuff on the shelf. It's crazy to come from the state of Illinois specifically. But if you're in the city of St. Louis, if you're in the county, and this is where you spend the majority of your time, to go to Florida and be like, oh,
it was like that in Minnesota.
I remember this. Yeah.
I mean, Minnesota is supposed to be a blue state and they're more open than parts of St. Louis.
What are we doing? Why
it's
are we
colder
doing
climate
it?
There? That whole argument about, well, Florida is warm. Not in Minnesota. It's not. And the deepest blue part of St. Paul in Minneapolis, there is not a person wearing a mask when you walk into any store there.
Have you heard J.B. Pritzker say anything about lifting the mask mandate?
No, nothing. Have Why? You?
I've heard him list off several, because the rate, I think it's the hospitalization rate, I think, I'm not 100% sure off the top of my head, the rate at which he removed the mask mandate the last time, we're like at 2/3 of that rate right now.
Oh, yeah,
like we're
great.
Way lower than it. And he goes, well, it's more complicated than that. And you know what he said? He said in Minnesota, their hospitalizations are out of control. And he listed other states that are around us that they need to get themselves in the control before Illinois can remove the mask mandate. Why are we not outraged by this? Because guess what? If the mask mandate goes away and you want to wear a mask, guess what you get to still do?
Yeah,
wear
you
your dang
do
mask. You don't have to stop wearing a mask because Governor Pritzker says you don't have to wear a mask. Do you put underwear in the morning? Do you wear your pants one leg at a time in the morning without asking J.B. Pritzker how to put on your clothes? What else do you need his permission and instruction on to do in your life? Why do masks have to be any different?
Well, he's just following the science. He's just following the science. That's why he looks to a state like Vermont and says, look, Vermont, they have the highest vaccination rate in the country. Oh, wait. Currently, they also have the highest COVID rate in the country. That makes sense. But all this stuff, it doesn't matter because you can just pick whatever you want and make up laws based on anything you want. The nice thing is, as you probably noticed, Annie and Brad, there aren't a whole lot of people who are taking the mask mandate real strictly anymore. It's kind of whatever you want, but, because everybody knows.
But I don't want people to have to, I don't want people to have to feel like they're being rebels when they go into a store that nobody's enforcing these masks. You know, the greeter at Walmart doesn't want to pick fights with 50% of the people who walk into Walmart. Shouldn't have to. And when you go into Walmart, if you're somebody who doesn't want to wear said mask, you shouldn't have to feel like you're breaking the law when you do that. And it's not happening anywhere else. I mean, look at a map at who still has a mask mandate. We're basically the only ones. Mm-hmm. There might be like two or three other states.
I think as far as people with vaccines who are also under a mask mandate, we might be the only state. Or it's close to it.
It's insane. And it's why are we not outraged about this kind of tyranny? It drives me crazy. Hey, I heard you had a friend. Who?
I do. I have a friend who.
You do?
Yeah.
Are we going to find out in the next segment?
It's a crazy story.
Is it about you?
I got a friend. It's a friend of mine.
And we're going to work it out.
We'll work backwards to see whether or not you think it's me.
We shall see when we come back. And Trisha's going to join us. So watch us on the live stream on the Annie Fry Show Facebook page. I believe tomorrow we'll be back on YouTube. I don't know. We'll see what kind of slander they want to throw our way. Maybe we'll be back tomorrow on YouTube. But we're on Facebook right now. And you can tell Ryan's friend what Ryan's friend should do as well in the live chat. So stick around. More Annie Fry Show with Trisha in the studio in just a minute.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. All right, so we do this from time to time. We've got some people in our lives who have situations that kind of need to be talked out. And Ryan has one today.
Okay, so I got this friend who is definitely not me.
Just like last time when you couldn't stop saying, well, I think I'm the one who outed you first, and then you just kind of went all in with it. So what do you got?
All right, so have a friend who... Back in 2016, 2017, right in that era, he was driving Uber. And he, you know, when you drive Uber. When you or one human drives Uber in the city / state of Missouri, city of St. Louis, state of Missouri. You find yourself in places you've never been before. You know, even if you're an adventurous person, you go into places because you get called to go into places. So my friend found himself in a place in downtown St. Louis, of all places, that he had never been before.
Odyssey.
It was the 1220 third floor of Olive 1220. in a bigger than average studio, but one that has trouble with temperature control.
Hypothetically speaking.
Anyway, downtown, there is apparently this big wall roughly in the area of the arch.
Can we turn this music off? I can't handle it.
No? there's this big wall.
The music, the music, and his like slow rolling story that is definitely not about
him. It's not about me, though.
I don't know. I kind of like it because you could picture Ryan, who's definitely not Ryan, as like a cartoon.
You're picturing
over that
me because
music.
I'm telling the story.
Correct. Not because this is about you.
Right. So downtown, there's this long
I'm just entering this conversation at this point in time.
That is covered in basically like really high-end graffiti art.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody ever seen this wall?
Which part of town?
It's a like right downtown next to the arch, but it's right next to the river.
A lot of that stuff is sanctioned, like paid for.
Don't know. My friend told me this story. I don't know all the details.
This is I think it's a very popular spot to do like wedding photos and things. I always see people take pictures next
That's
to
interesting
it.
Because mm-hmm. you would get the luck of the draw on what the art was that day because it seems to change a lot. You know, because it's graffiti, right?
I don't know. I've never been down there, but
what is your friend's struggle?
So,
I mean, among others,
is there a question?
No, there's no question. It's just a story.
It's just a story.
It's
okay.
A fascinating story. So when he was down there with his
I don't
little
think that's how this works.
Ford Fiesta,
you have to tell.
No, there's no question. There's no rules to this. You just have to tell the story. So he's in his Fiesta, mm-hmm. very very small car. And realizes, man, this wall's really long. I'm going to drive along the wall and see how long this wall goes. So he starts driving down what probably you would think is a levee. And on top of the levee is a paved road.
Does the story end with the Fiesta in the Mississippi?
No.
Okay.
No.
I believe this place is called the Mural Mile.
Okay.
It has a website.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So you drive down this thing. And so you can drive pretty far. And I realized, like, as I'm getting, God dang it. I mean, my friend.
You are the worst at this.
So my friend realizes
he
gets down.
Can we recut the intro to that to say Ryan has a friend who is him? And then we'll just go in with that same unksha music.
Pretty far down this road, and the art is starting to go away.
I want the next one to
As in,
tubas.
You're getting to a place where people don't even venture this far down the wall to draw anymore.
People.
Like, oh, man, this is getting pretty far. I wonder how far. Now it's just how far does this road go? So my friend's driving down this road for a long time and starting to realize the road's getting pretty narrow and was always pretty narrow, but it's a Fiesta, so he can handle it. So he starts driving between those these concrete posts that are up to, like, block traffic.
Mm-hmm.
But the Fiesta's small enough that it makes it through there. Realizing pretty quickly, this is a bike trail that he's been driving on for miles. And then realizes, oh, you know what? It's going to be a problem when he gets up here because he can see there are MoDOT employees up here working on something. So what do you do at that point? You can't turn around. The road is too narrow.
What did your friend do?
My friend just keeps driving. And instead of pretending like, oh, no, this is a problem, just owns it. Just drives right by the MoDOT guys and just like, what's
good
up,
thing you were
what's
driving
up, guys?
A Fiesta.
All right, keep it up, you know, and just keeps driving. This road goes on for probably 10 miles.
How long have you been wanting to tell us a story?
It's a fascinating story, is it not? So he gets to a place where he finds that there are a ton of fake tombstones where apparently
you're just making stuff
no,
up.
No.
You're just making things up.
I'm not.
Tombstone pizzas.
Not because every, you know, so often you'd pass a tent where apparently a homeless person had been living, maybe doesn't live there anymore, don't
maybe
know.
Maybe it was the last person to drive down the bike trail in Fiesta and didn't know what to do and where to go.
Exactly. A little concerning. So my friend at some point sees these tombstones, and they're not real tombstones. They're just almost like somebody stuck a piece of driftwood in the ground and like carved stuff into it. And so he's like, oh, man, this is really scary, but I also want to see what's on these tombstones. So he drives up kind of close to him and sees.
This is actually the dream that you had last night.
No.
This is the step by, like, you wrote in your dream journal when you woke up at 2:45 this morning. This is the step-by-step of what took place in your dream last night.
I told you about my dream journal in confidence.
I'm telling everybody.
And you're not telling everybody
confidently.
About my dream journal. So on this, it was a bunch of probably homeless people who had died, yep. And they had not buried them there, but they had made this cemetery to acknowledge them. And it was people like putting little things like friends and. But there's no way to get to it other than the way that I did. So, I mean, my friend did. So, I don't know how people got out there, but it is weird. And the further you get from downtown, the weirder it gets.
How did you get out of there?
Eventually, I found a, you know, one of those like industrial complexes where the road kind of comes up against the levee, and I was able to kind of get down off of it.
Could you have done like a Y, like a 3-point or 32-point turn to get your
too
car
narrow.
Around?
It was
See,
too
if
narrow.
You were gonna, if you had to go the other way, you would have had to just reverse.
Yes.
For miles.
For a long time. Yeah.
Guys, what do you think? How do you? Well, the good news is that it's 2:37, which means we are within the window that we could break right now.
It's not a terrible idea.
Should we?
It's not. Yeah, I mean, I need some time to reflect on that because I totally listened to the entire thing.
Did you get that blog post done for Congressman Voss saying that Nancy Pelosi is probably going to quit before
I did.
Term is up?
Yeah. 971talk.com/Annie.
I just tuned out. Whatever did you guys just say?
Hey, Brad, I think, you know. Brad, you're a car guy, right?
Big time.
Is it hard on your vehicle to reverse for 10 miles?
No.
Just don't go too fast.
Right.
Is it hard on your vehicle or is it hard to do?
I think it's hard on your ego. Or your friends.
You're darn right it is. At some point, it just becomes, well, why the heck not go forward? That's what my friend told me.
I'm picturing Brian's friend going backwards down that bike trail for 10 miles.
Yeah, it's also a levee. So if you get off it, all, you're
very dangerous.
Tipping over.
Just wanted to see, you know, going backwards, waving to the MoDOT, like, sup, guys? Yeah.
Seems like there are about probably 42 warning signs that you should have passed in your jaunt down
the ones that I really went, you know what, that's probably the
Mississippi River levee.
Was the concrete poles that come up out of the ground, like the ones that are in the front of Walmart, you know, those big concrete pillars.
Just to be clear, you didn't have a passenger, right?
No. I know you need to go to Florissant, but I got a shortcut.
Forgot it started with an Uber.
One star. Yeah. Drove down bike trail. Got stuck.
Saw homeless cemetery. Got very afraid.
Here, I got a friend who is also me. We're coaching. I talked a little bit about coaching basketball. So my husband and I are coaching two girls' basketball teams because they weren't going to have another coach. I don't really have the time to do this. But I also care about these girls and their ability to play. Plus, one of them is my daughter. My daughter's like in the youngest grade that is getting to play. And we have our first game tonight, the older girls do, in a tournament that we have no business being in. So give me some advice here because I actually think that this team that we have, first of all, we're super young. Like, there's an eighth grader, and we're going to be playing in eighth grade tournaments. This is an eighth grade tournament. It's in more closer to central Illinois. And these are people who play more of a junior high schedule, I think, and they have been playing for maybe 3 weeks. Like, most of the teams playing in this tournament have probably had 5 to 7 games. They're going to be all older, like, way older. It's possible that we'll have fourth graders playing in the game tonight. From a number standpoint.
Okay.
I am sick about it because, like, I it's not about winning. It's about how do you put these kids out here and, like, how do I measure success for them so that they can walk off that court and potentially perform in a successful way, regardless of what the score is going to say? Like, how do I do that? Because grade school sports, there is a sweet spot of before people start going, you know what? I don't think that I'm a basketball player, or I really enjoyed the baseball thing, but I think that this is no longer for me. It's getting a little more serious. It's pretty clear to me that I'm not as good as the people around me, so maybe I need to come up with another hobby. Maybe I want to pick up a guitar, or maybe I want to get a job or something like that when you get a little bit older. So, but grade school is one of those times, I think, where you're really not shaken out completely, and usually the people who are holding on the most are the parents who don't want to let go, and the kids who are kind of like, I kind of wish I could let go. It gets pretty intense. Stupidly intense. Mm-hmm. I'm super competitive, but I'm very good at this point in time, only because I've been coaching sports and around youth sports for 20 years now. I have been able to recalibrate my system a little bit to manage expectations. What do you do? Like, if they go out there, I mean, let's talk about that. You know, there was the high school football game mm-hmm. where somebody, didn't they win like 116-0 or something?
Yeah.
And they like went for a 2-point conversion when they were up 106-0. I mean, that's not going to happen tonight. But there's a version of that that happens, and people know what that feels like to be on that side. What do you do in that situation?
I think what you do is you tell your team, which clearly is going to be the underdogs, mm-hmm. right? So you tell your team, every time the ball hits the floor, like the end of a point, mm-hmm. clap like you want it. And make the other team feel so bad, like you don't even understand the rules. That okay. they start.
So, Trisha, what would you do?
I thought he really had a solution.
Trisha, no. See, that's why this is so difficult.
I know.
Because every single time I talk to him, it's a roll of the dice. Mm. I never know which road we're going down and if it's actually a road or a bike trail. I never know which way we're headed.
We're going forward
and if
or
the
backwards.
Only way out is to either plow through the partitions at the end of the bike trail or reverse for 10 miles.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
Okay, just to back it up a little bit here, I think you yeah. just tell your kids that clearly there is a little bit of skill level difference that comes with time and age, and that the most important thing is that they play by the rules,
mm-hmm.
they keep their chin up, and that they know that they are getting better each time they compete.
Yeah.
Each time they go up against teams like this.
I just wish that it wasn't the first game.
Yeah, that's rough. That's rough.
And also I think too that they have talent. Like we have a talented team, but at this point in time, we like seriously with there are, let's see. I think I have a handful of 7th graders, I've got one 8th grader, and I've got one 6th grader. So if they go out there and they play, super, great, knock yourself out. But, like, after that, I think I have 7 kids who aren't 4th or 5th graders. Like, oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. We're literally going, this is the free throw line, and this is the block. Because that's what you do when you're 10. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very different. Just there's something to be learned.
Related, is it ever, really, is it ever okay to say something to a ref? Like, you know, make a criticism, not necessarily like yell, but mm-mm. it's never okay to tell a ref that was the wrong call.
Mm-mm. It's not okay.
Even if it was the wrong call.
No.
Why?
Because they, first of all, and I'll say this as somebody who is an official, I'm not currently because I did volleyball for 12 years or something like that. And then COVID happened and then I had a baby, so didn't renew my license, but The reason why is because it's not ever, ever productive. There's no good that comes from that. There is a way to talk to an official. Most good officials will, if something happened and they didn't see it, most good officials are very keenly aware that they don't know everything that's happening all the time on the floor. And if you can approach an official and say, I just want to let you know, number 43, that was my number, number 43 down there is roughing my girl up. And my girl is a 4th grader, and she's going to get hurt. Could you keep an eye on that? Good officials will go, yeah, absolutely, I'll keep my eye on that. And then they'll make a call if there's a call to be made. When you're in grade school, honestly, if you're in anything probably lower than JV or varsity, there are good officials who do those games. My husband and I, for volleyball, we were very good officials. We had no interest in going the high school route because it's just not what we were there for. Most of those other officials are going to feel criticized by that, and it's not going to benefit you. So, and then you have to weigh in how that affects the kids who are on the floor who are going to be affected by your criticism. Like, what is the point of criticizing? I think it's different to say something outside of the context of a game, but it's still how you choose to criticize. You know, it's just like, if you were in a restaurant, I don't know if it's exactly the same, but if you were in a restaurant and you really wanted to lay into the cook for how bad they prepared your meal and they're going to take that food back and prepare you another meal, how are you going to feel about that meal that gets put in front of you? A good cook is going to listen to your criticism if you're respectful about it and prepare your food the way the restaurant wants the quality of their food to be prepared. But when that food leaves your table and it goes back behind the walls in the kitchen and then a new plate comes out, how do you feel about eating that next plate of food? Is there a question mark in your head about wonder what's in this?
Using your example.
Oh, gosh. Here we go. Do you see the look on his face right now? Do you see the look in his eyes? Here we go.
What if you were to say, hey, this broccoli's been clearly sitting out all day. It was a bad choice to choose that broccoli.
That's it?
That's it. You're not trying to change everything. You're just pointing out.
It's all about
you
presentation.
You made a bad decision.
You're criticizing the decision, not the broccoli you paid for.
To me, if you're going to deal with an official, I always would ask for clarification on a call. I would never argue the call per se, but I'd be like, can you clarify why that was the way it was? Because I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, I would get an explanation. But in the same instance, you don't argue for the call that was made. You argue for the next call, which if you do it the
right— And you may be arguing against yourself.
Right. If you do it the right way, if they got that call wrong, when they go back in their head to review how that call was made, they might call it differently the next time because they're like, oh, right, yeah, the rule does say this, and I messed that one up. But I don't, you know, and that way nobody gets called out or anything like that. And you do it like—
You also can't be an a-hole like when you're not talking to the officials. You can go into a gym and immediately tell how seriously people are taking it for what reasons they're taking it seriously. Like the win or the loss in a grade school basketball game means a lot to a lot of people. But outside of that, people don't even know that there's grade school basketball taking place. Like it could cease to exist from the face of the earth and a lot of people would not even know. But if you're in there and you're using that as an opportunity to justify yourself and then the official becomes a part of that, they're going to glob onto that very quickly and it's never going to go your way.
Annie, to your question about how do you handle this with the kids, to me, I'm assuming, and I might be wrong in assuming this, but I'm assuming the reason you're coaching this team is to teach them the fundamentals of the game, to teach them the game, right?
Yeah.
So whenever I would go into a game like that, what I would do is I would make sure that I wasn't too much concerned about the other team. I would try to get our guys or our team focused on what it is they're doing and doing their best at that. And then at the end of the day, if you get blown out of the gym, but you were still doing the best that you had and you were focused on your fundamentals,
yeah,
there's nothing to hang your head about.
It's focusing on what you can control and not what you can't, which is a good point. I wonder if it's ever appropriate to be like ahead of the game, like this team's going to be a lot better than you and we're not going to worry about the score. Because that seems to me also to be like, I don't want to put that in their head either.
Right.
So, we're going to come up with measurable goals. I think a lot of it has to do with how we react to the kids and encourage them in the games and stuff like that. And just, I have such little patience for people in youth sports who take it so seriously. They do it at the expense of children. And do you see that your son's soccer games? Are there parents who are just like living on every play that their child makes? Are you that parent?
I don't know. No, I'm not. Although I get emotional in a game and I'll have to hold my tongue if something happens that's like, that was just wrong.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and that's why I'm asking the question, because it's
really hard when you're the parent.
It's really hard. And so I've said something before and I always feel bad afterwards because I'm like, man, I know in my head, I know what's right to do here.
Yeah.
In my heart,
but
in
when
the
you
moment,
become a
I'm
parent,
like, doggone it, that was wrong.
My daughter is going to be playing on this team, and this is the first time that I've done this. That's probably the crux of it. This is the first time I've done this as a mom. So this is like on a personal level, not just me standing in between kids that were trying to teach something and a lesson to be learned. But yeah, it's when you become a parent, and this is not just about sports, it's about everything. You can morph into this other being and watch it happen to yourself. It's like an out-of-body experience.
It is.
It's the craziest thing.
It is.
Well, I will report tomorrow. If I'm in jail or something, Ryan, you can take over and tell more Uber stories that are not clearly about
3 hours.
All right. Listen to the Mark Reardon Show coming up next.
Get more at 971talk.com. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.